This is How Was Your Weekend with Wendy and Brian. Look for updates at facebook.com/weekendpodcast or how.ws/yourweekend. While you're there, please subscribe. There are links for iTunes, Android, and more. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Wendy. How's it going?
Good. How was your weekend?
Pretty darn okay. How was yours?
Pretty darn. Mine was fabulous. I did one of my most favorite things.
What is that?
I went to the World Pork Expo.
The world? Is this where people come together to talk about like the new technologies in pork?
Well, we'll get to that because I was very curious about what you thought. So we'll get to that. But I have something else that made my weekend very, very like exciting and happy.
What?
I had a friend give us live feedback.
Live feedback?
On the podcast.
Really?
It's my good friend Larry.
Hello, Larry.
You think I could play it?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let me do it.
Hi, Wendy. It's Larry. I'm tweeting you in person. So I wanted to let you know that I'm totally addicted to your podcast. I've listened to two now, and it's excellent. And you have such a great voice. You really do. I am so impressed. I just want to give you a word of encouragement and tell you that I love it. And Michelle and I listen to it in the morning while we're getting ready. And I got it on the little Bose boomboxy thing running through the phone. And it's awesome. I love it. So keep it up. It's so exciting and intriguing. It's engaging and entertaining. I know I can't be alone in telling you so. So
awesome.
Yeah. So Larry and Michelle are really, really dear friends of mine. And Larry is a very entertaining guy. So I think he is a good critic to have on our side. So Larry, I appreciate the call out. We appreciate you listening. And if anybody else wants to do that, you know, you're more than welcome, whether it's on Facebook or on the website or any of that.
I actually have a voicemail line for the show.
Oh, you do?
For all our shows, actually.
Oh, well, why not? Just throw it out there. See what randomness happens.
Yeah, it's 931-994-6268. That's 931-994-6268. Regular toll charges apply.
So if you want a live tweet like Larry,
yeah,
or just go the old school route, call us. Leave us a voicemail.
Yeah.
Could be a fun little segment to add.
And shout out to our buddy Jason Kirk and Eric Crownover, who also listen and tweet at us about the show.
And I am my cousin. So since we're talking about the World Pork Expo, my cousin Mary Jo started listening as well. Yes. And so we got to keep her entertained because she's a funny lady.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
One more thing. We are also now on Stitcher. The Stitcher podcast platform. So you can find us there if you prefer that. But of course, you can find us at how.ws/yourweekend. That's how.ws/yourweekend. Click on an episode and you can see all the wonderful ways that you can subscribe.
Woohoo! So are you ready to talk about the funnest 4 days in Des Moines, Iowa that anybody could ever have?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So 2017 World Pork Expo was a blast. And I know it sounds weird, but to get the thing rolling. So when I say, when you first met me, not since I've informed you of more, but when you first met me and I said I was going to the World Pork Expo, what did you think that was?
So good question. Let me think. Let me think about it. So I assumed, actually I had a lot of assumptions. So I assumed there were a lot of dirt. So I kind of thought, so have you ever gone to, I guess, the North Carolina State Fair?
I did early on when I moved here.
And so they have all of these like tents and stuff that have animals. I figured there's a lot of that, like a lot of poop on the ground and things.
It's similar. So, but it's dedicated because like you go to a state fair, or county fair or whatever, and you've got all the livestock and all the animals. This is only pigs.
So
it's a pig deal.
It's a pig deal.
You're welcome.
I bet. Does it smell?
It smells like pigs.
Here's my idea of pigs. My mind, pigs are two things. They're like little cute little baby pigs, mm-hmm. like in Babe.
That's like top five favorite thing in life is a baby pig.
And then they are gigantic killers that are
an animal
that are out to eat anything including human flesh.
That's if you've starved them for a while. They are carnivorous
and
they do the cannibalistic thing, but that's not their normal. They're very sweet. They're very dog-like
but we eat them.
It's part of the circle of life. Sorry for the Lion King reference, but it's the circle of life. If we don't, they take over the world. Yeah. And then they do become cannibalistic, and then it's a downworld, just sad state of affairs after that, I'm pretty sure. But so you're right, there is the very strong scent and perfume of hogs in the air. And there's tents and there's vendors and there is all of that fun stuff. But the true purpose of it is it is a World Pork Expo. So it is international representation at this event each year in Des Moines, Iowa, at the state fairgrounds is where it's held.
Do you have a pork keynote speaker?
So they do. They have all like the different companies, different professors. You know, the National Pork Board is there.
Companies. What kind of companies show up to this?
So
Smithfield?
Yes. So you have, and this is the most intriguing thing every year for me, is to go to the trade show, because where the industry, like anything else, you talk about pork and people are like, yeah, it's, you know, raise it, do whatever. It's a very complex industry that now has brought a lot of technology into it that, you know, our grandparents wouldn't have even dreamed would now be part of a hog farm. So the trade show includes data collection companies. This was the coolest thing. There was a company, and I can't remember the name of it. I wish I did, who I referred to it as had mood lighting for the barn. So they had three different lights that you could control. It's like smart systems in these facilities, right? And one was basically like a happy light, keep the pigs active and eating and all that other one. The other one was like an amber calming light. So if things seemed out of control and the herd need to be calmed, it would do this lighting. And then they had a black light so that you just put it on for a little bit to disinfect and like keep things healthy within the herd. So that was really interesting. But you have anywhere from feed companies to pharmaceutical companies, like my brother works for, to these technology companies, ventilation systems, water systems. I mean, you name it, it's represented at the World Pork Expo. And you're talking, there's people showing up from China, Mexico, Brazil, Germany, you know, like Finland. I mean, I didn't even write it down. I should have. How many like countries are represented there? So they do. They have keynote speakers. And the great thing is, it's not just about the large farmers. It's about the kids. And that's why I go, right? So for the last several years, we've gone because my nieces show.
Mm-hmm.
And so kids can start showing the pigs and exhibiting them there when they're 3 years old. So they're little. If you want to be entertained, watch a three-year-old drive like a 250-pound hog around a ring.
I was going to ask, do they only show the little pigs? But the answer is no.
No. And the age, all the pig classes are broke up into like age groups. And I think there's 8 breeds of hogs that are represented in the show, roughly. But, or well, I guess 9, because one's crossbred. But
crossbred.
Yeah, meaning they're a mix of 2 different breeds.
So pigs aren't just like one breed.
No, okay. There's lots of breeds of hogs.
Okay.
Yeah. So, well, maybe I'll quiz you if you know any of them.
I would love that.
We'll
actually
have a quiz at the end about you describe a pig that you've seen, and I'll see if I can figure out the breed that you're describing.
So the one that I'm immediately thinking of, he walks on 2 feet and has a speech impediment.
Porky?
Yes.
He's not a breed.
Okay.
But if he walked on all 4, I don't know. Does Porky's ears go up or down? Because that is an indicator of breed.
I think they go up. I think there's like a little twist or something on them.
Okay. If his ears point up, then he's a Yorkshire.
Terrier?
No. Yorkshire hog.
Okay.
If they go down, and depending on what shape of the ear is, he's either a Landrace or a Chester White.
So, you know, we talked about this on our previous episode, but you love this stuff so much, and there is, like, money in it. Why don't you do this for a living? You are like, this is your thing.
Well, I guess I could. I did it for a really long time growing up, and I've found other things interesting. But I think it's fun to talk about it and intriguing because it's different than what most people. And my passion for it still exists, but I like to explore all things. And so I don't think I've gone back to it. And I still have a tie to it. I have friends that are very heavily involved. Obviously, my nieces and my brother. But I grew up doing this. I mean, I learned this stuff from the time I was 8 years or before I was 8 years old. So it's just second nature even to me. It's not that it's, you know, something every day that I'm worried about what these breeds of hogs are doing. I just happen to have this knowledge in my head.
Yeah. So I was talking to a friend yesterday, and we both have something in common. We both love Star Trek.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you look through this room here, and you would that we're in my studio, and you would think that I only care about transforming robots.
Yeah.
But I may love Star Trek more
than you do Transformers.
But the thing is, I don't obsess over Star Trek like I do Transformers. And because I obsess over Transformers, I sometimes learn to hate it.
And maybe that's, I haven't gotten there, but maybe I backed away before I became obsessive. I was pretty obsessed with it in college and high school and things like that. But and there's so many things that translate in life over from the things that you learn at these events and being around animals. But I mean, the youth part of this is amazing. So they have about 6,000 kids register to show animals. I think this is what my brother told me.
6,000?
Yeah. So they'll register early, but you still, you know, like anything else, you may register, but you may not show up. But they still have between 2,000 and 3,000 exhibitors a year of these junior, for the junior show, which means just kids from the age of 3 to 18 or 19, depending on your birthday. And they have like two solid days of showing pigs, and the judge is sorting through hundreds and hundreds of hogs, and it's just amazing. But there's also skill-a-thons for these kids to learn about breeds and medicine and
like
feeding.
Identification
yeah.
drills, things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, and like how to feed and like what are the instruments that you use to administer vaccinations. I mean, all of that stuff. They're really teaching these kids about what it means to be a thoughtful, caring producer of pork.
So let me think through this. You've been involved with pigs your entire life.
Basically 34 years of it, yeah.
And your brother also.
He still is. He's a pig deal.
He's a pig deal.
He is a pig deal in the industry.
He's held high.
He still does. Yeah. He's on the National Pork Board and all of that. He's very tied with the government as far as things with that. But his job is not that.
So your degree is in animal science, but he was actually a professor of
animal science at Colorado State. Yes, he was.
Now, didn't he have a famous partner there in the
Temple
office?
Grandin. Yes. Phenomenal woman.
You've met her?
I have not had the privilege of meeting her.
But so who is she?
So she is this phenomenal lady who there's a show about her. Claire Danes played her character, but she is basically known for installing humane I don't know how they reference it specifically, but humane ways to herd or direct animals in everyday care on the ranch or whatever. And she focused mostly on cattle at first when she first came out, and then also into the production plants where they go to make meat. So,
but did she work with pigs?
She does. Yeah. So it started when she was working on feedlots where she started working out of school, but then it's translated into all other livestock since then. And her biggest thing is she is on top of that, she's a huge advocate of autism and Asperger's, because that's how she came across this. Was she suffered with these conditions, and she made a squeeze chute that would make like hug her. She didn't want people touching her, but she wanted to feel like somebody was hugging her. And so what she learned is it calmed her, and she learned the same in cattle. So when they do vaccinations and stuff to stop the cows, because you can't really just have them on like a lead and chasing them to get a vaccination, she learned that if you squeezed them, they calmed down because they felt safe and secure, like she did when she would get out of control, but she didn't want people hugging her. She made a hugging machine, and cattle react the same way. So that activity of giving a shot or being, you know, taken care of and marked and things like that isn't stressful for them. It's more nurturing and humane than people would think.
But of course, she's famous for that.
She is.
And your brother's a pig deal.
Yes.
So it's like pork and livestock and everything. Like, I think a lot of people maybe think of it as like not necessarily the cutting edge or glamorous when it comes to occupations, but it seems like it's actually a really, I'm going to use the word big deal.
It is a big deal. there, you know, it's, there's tons and tons of science. And I even have relatives and friends who the technology part, like you said, the cutting edge piece of it has become so interesting over the last couple of years, because they're using, if it's crop farming or livestock, you know, data is such a big deal now, and how they capture data on these animals. They're not putting chips on them, you know, in them or anything crazy like that, but they're...
Why not?
Well, because you're consuming them, so you don't want to put things in them that you...
It's inert.
But they, it's just not humane either. I mean, if you put an ear tag or something,
my
like...
My dog's chipped.
Yeah, dogs are chipped, I guess.
They don't know the difference.
They don't know, and it's not... It doesn't hurt them. It's...
Actually, no, my dog's not chipped. I need to do that.
You better chip him. But they've got all these different ways to make your barn smart, make the environment healthier for them with the ventilation of the air. It's just... It's really cutting edge, and so you don't necessarily have to have just an animal science or an ag degree anymore to be associate. And you never really had to the deepest degree, but there are things that you learn that are... super important in those fields to carry on, but there's so much, the business is business, and then the science is the science.
So I don't want to derail us too much, but I like, this stuff fascinates me, and I sort of wanted to go in this direction and get your thoughts, because we've never talked about this.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of oftentimes of like disruptive technology, because, you know, we work together and in business, we always had to be aware of either new innovations that we could either employ or new innovations that could disrupt the market that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, one of the most interesting things going is bioengineered meat.
Mm.
So,
I don't know. I haven't done a lot of research about
but
that.
So, but do you, know what it is? Basically, growing meat in like some sort of factory is not the right word. Lab's not the right word, but something in between.
Not so on an actual farm.
Not within the actual body of an animal. So Basically, think of it as cloned meat.
Oh, it's like Petri dish meat.
Yeah. But
that sounds disgusting.
But basically, ultimately, it would have the same qualities, taste, texture, fat content, everything as actual meat, but no pain went into the development of it.
Oh, I don't know about that. I've never really researched it. And that's where I've been so far removed. I have a lot to learn. I just feel like... It just sounds disgusting to me. I don't see how they can, I don't know how they can do it so that it tastes the way it tastes now.
So, I mean, obviously we're not there yet because like a bioengineered burger costs like 10 grand.
Yeah.
But oh, jeez. Yeah.
First, it's not feasible on your bank account.
Well, yeah, but of course, you know, the first HDTV was like $70,000.
So maybe a burger will be like $100 and it'll be worth it at some point.
Or it'll eventually become cheaper than regular, you know, meat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's totally disruptive. But like for me, I obviously love meat. I love meat.
Well, at the World Pork Expo, you can get all the free pork you possibly want.
That's amazing.
Yes, just so you know.
But I have like a moral quandary when it comes to the actual killing of animals to get it. Like I could never bring myself to kill or butcher an animal.
Yeah.
And I don't think about it when I eat it. So if I could get guilt-free meat, I would totally give up the you know, no offense to the World Pork Expo, but I would totally give that up if I could get meat that no pain went into the production of.
And this is such a debate that it you know, there's 70 sides to it, but it is one of those things that, again, everything has a purpose. And when people learned that consuming animals was part of healthy living, and I really simplify it by saying, if there isn't this circle of life where, yes, the weak die or they may die off eventually, but the lifespan of some of these animals are insane. And if you don't have some means, or there's not some natural thing that occurs within the life cycle or the chain of the ecosystem, it becomes overrun and other things start to... And you know what? For just in a pig perspective... They're very destructive. They can be very destructive when not like maintained. Like they destroy vegetation. They are cannibalistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, if you just look at them from a perspective, they could do a ton of environmental damage over time if they weren't part of the food chain.
Yeah. And it's like since the agricultural revolution, since humans developed agriculture, you know, we've basically cultivated, developed these animals. They've been bred chickens, pigs, to where there's nothing natural about a pig. There's nothing natural about a chicken. If you go see one in the wild, it's nothing like what we have on the farm. Yeah. So a lot of these animals, you know, cattle, pigs, chickens, I mean, they may not, I mean, if we didn't raise them, they would probably cease to exist because they couldn't
support themselves. That's exactly right. They do not know how to conserve the means in which they need to survive, right? They're all in. Yeah. So I'm eating everything until it's gone. Where with humans, there's that, okay, well, depends on the person because I have this problem. It's like, okay, I can't consume all of that because then it's gone, or I need to replenish it. Like, all they know how to replenish is babies.
Yeah.
Which then multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. And then there's not enough means or resources for them to survive, so then they become extinct.
Yeah, but if we sort of develop them to begin with, if they go extinct, is that a bad thing?
I don't know that we don't develop them the way they are now, right? They existed and we continued to regulate their procreation.
Yeah.
Is the way I'd like to say it.
Yeah. So like
we didn't genetically build them. We didn't scientifically create
through
these
selection,
animals.
Artificial selection.
Well, there is. But
I have a designer wolf in my
living
room.
But you picked your wife and she picked you.
Yeah.
So it's the same.
But we have free will.
Well, this is true.
But like I have a designer wolf in my living room, and he's got curly hair and he weighs about 9 pounds. But genetically, I mean, he's a wolf.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, he could, if he could and he'd like to, he could breed with a wolf.
Yeah. We took what was there as humans and said, well, what if you breed this breed with that breed? Or we did do that. But to me, they were still the same species to begin with. Just like humans are the same species, but we may pick a different ethnicity or a different physical character or something to put into our lineage. It's the same scenario with pigs. Just we didn't lessen them. We actually tried to improve them
based on
certain traits.
By improving the amount of meat that we can reap from them, yeah.
Hey, don't to feed wrong. People. But, you know, so that brings up a more business type conversation. And I don't know this number. So if somebody wants to send it in, if they happen to know. But, you know, we also, it's a matter of feeding the world. Mm-hmm. It's not about us selfishly as Americans just eating all of this. It's the import export, right? Agriculture is a commodity based business in many, many ways. And solely in some cases, but it's one of those things. It's not about just producing for the needs of our country. It's feeding the world, mm-hmm. literally. And so you do need to consider, hey, what does it take and what type of animals is it going to take to feed the world?
So,
and that's what a lot of farmers and agriculturalists, and as they should, pat themselves on the back for every single day, whether it's grains or vegetables or whatever it is, they are feeding the world.
So, question. So, I know I've heard statistics, and I can't quote them off the top of my head, in respect to cattle on the amount of resources that it takes to go into, like, a pound of meat when it comes to all the water, all the food, everything.
Yes.
Like, it's ridiculous in the...
And it's all market-driven.
And hardly cost-effective. I mean, it's barely cost-effective.
Yeah, farmers are... always on, and it is a high risk business.
How are pigs compared to cattle or in other animals when it comes to,
as far as the amount of cost that it takes to raise them? So how old they need to be, they're a little bit younger than cattle generally at that stage when you're going to start consuming them. So they are a lower cost on average than beef cattle.
Would somebody eat like Babe?
Oh, they probably did. I'm sorry. Or unless he was so famous, they were like, we're going to just let him.
I mean,
well,
there are several of them. I mean, they had to turn them over every so often. But
a pig will live to be, I don't even know anymore what the longest living porcine ever was. But I mean, they're 700 pounds lumbering around a yard somewhere. And honestly,
from a health
perspective, that's not necessarily.
No.
They're not intended to live as that long.
So but like, how young do people, like, I people will eat veal, which is like a young cow. Like, do people do that with pigs?
So pigs, like the smallest pig you're gonna eat is generally what we refer to as a pit hog, right? So that's, they want to be about, I guess, 150 pounds or less.
Is a pit hog because it goes into a pit?
Yes.
Okay.
And then it's tender, you know, it's more tender. So, yeah, it's a few months old at that point. I mean, you're consuming animals under a year old.
Okay.
Is what you're doing when you're consuming pork, most often. Unless it's sausage, then it might be older because it's just ground up meat, right? But
is it because sausage is a lower grade of food?
Yeah, it's just all the muscle parts ground together versus it's basically it being the a cut chili. Of ham or a cut of loin or, you know, all that.
It's the Wendy's chili of pork.
Yeah, some would say, yeah, probably. Yeah. There, it may not even be pork. Yeah. But it is such an interesting thing, and I do appreciate it. I've always appreciated it. It's been a passion, like you said. But I appreciate when I step away and come back to it, I think I appreciate it even more. And but the show is such a great example of, A, it's a world thing. It's about business. It's about family. It's about raising the next generation of animal and agriculture, animal scientists and agriculturists and, you know, agribusiness people. But it's a family affair. And you see kids learning how to work and care for animals and compete against each other in a very respectful, healthy manner. You are learning analysis skills because they're teaching you how to assess these animals, assess your competition for when you're showing. There's so much that's going on in that 4 days that contributes to not just feeding the world, the business world, the economy at large, basically, but also to the foundational youth of America. And it's just such a cool thing because it's stuff that you wouldn't, you know, you say World Pork Expo, and I think people who don't have a background or knowledge would just be like, what the heck? Like, people just stand around and talk about pigs and a bunch of farmers. And like, it's so much more than that. And it's very, very intriguing. And it's fun to watch the families come together. And it's fun to watch these kids, like, be kids and hang out, but then get serious and go take care of their animals and learn that this thing relies on them. And without them, you know, there's repercussions and things like that. It's just, it's a really cool experience to go to. But then I learn something and meet people from all over the world every time I go.
That's awesome. So I'm, since you're an expert and I've just sort of been.
Oh, I'm far from an expert.
Well, compared to me.
We'll get some experts if you want them.
So when did we learn, or how did we learn that pigs had a symbiotic relationship with arachnids?
With arachnids?
Yeah.
Where? I don't even know this. Like, where'd you get this?
So there was a story about a pig that I guess the pig was worried about what was going to happen to it. And the spider started...
Are you talking about Charlotte's
writing
web?
Writing things in its web?
Oh, now I'm catching on to Charlotte's web. Hey, you know what my brother's first two pigs' names were? Wilbur and Charlotte.
That's awesome.
I think that's most people have that. But it was a book. That's where it came from.
Okay.
And you know what? It's a barnyard. So, you know what? The goose mate probably does talk to the spider who talks to the pig who talks to the cow.
So, did you guys eat Wilbur?
Yes.
So, my mom, who's long gone, but she grew up on a farm is not the right word. I mean, back then, everybody kept chickens and everything. Yeah. She was born in 36. So, back in the 40s in the country, she was telling me a story about how she had two pet chickens that she loved.
Mm-hmm.
She loved those chickens. And she found out that her father had killed them when she was eating them for dinner.
Oh.
Yeah.
It is a process. I mean, I had to teach myself. And as a parent who raises children to do this, you find the right time and way to understand. Like, my nieces understand that they consume the animals that they raise. And they know they serve a different purpose. Some are consumed and some are breeding. Like, they reproduce and they produce more pigs. Like, they get that at 6 and 9 years old.
Yeah.
And, but it, for me, was my parents, you know, talked to me about it, but I had to find my way of accepting that this is what it was. And you learned to deal with it however you dealt with it, or you didn't do it anymore.
My buddy Dusty, who you know, he's also the co-host of our podcast, RPG Lessons Learned, which you should listen to.
And he raised cattle.
Hey, Dusty! He was telling me this awesome story around Thanksgiving where his daughter Margot, and Margot is four, Awesome kid. I love her to death. They were eating turkey, and she said, "Daddy, do you know there's also an animal called turkey?" And yeah, she didn't realize at that point.
Did he use that as the learning opportunity?
I think he did later on.
Yeah.
She knows now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's just like any, you know, it's like any other thing that you have to walk through life with your kids. And if they're going to be in this way of life, it just becomes second nature to them. But I think it's a matter of realizing how many people benefit from it as well. It's not just about the, you know, that this animal's gone. It's about what it's doing after its life. Like, so you brought up the arachnid thing, whatever. But I was going to was, of all the animals that exist, I think it is the pig is 90% reusable. And by that, I mean, they use their skin for skin grafts on burn victims. They use their hair to make brushes. They make, they can use their hearts, their valves in their hearts to, like, I have a friend who, she chose to have a porcine valve put in her heart versus a human valve put in her heart.
They're more readily available.
They have so many things they contribute beyond the meat.
They make, they
to could, the human spirit, the human body, everything else. They can be, they're reusable in so many ways for us beyond just consumable.
They can be used to create insulin and things like
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah. correct. So they mirror the human so much in many cases. Even their eyes, like I think their core, like the retina or the corn, I don't know, cornea, something like that, that they can use parts of that. Their eyelashes, some countries will use the eyelashes for fake eyelashes. But
this is creepy.
They are a medical benefit to the human race as well, because we can accept parts of them for healing, not just consuming them to nurture ourselves. So they're a pretty freaking amazing animal.
They are pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah.
They give us bacon. We haven't even mentioned that yet.
I mean, that's okay. So what do you think your favorite cut of pork is?
It's bacon.
No doubt.
Yeah, no doubt.
I love pork chops. I love a good pork chop.
They're okay.
Oh my God. If it's fixed right, it's like heaven. Or pork tenderloin. I like bacon, don't get me wrong. But I'd rather have good ham, breakfast ham or something, or a good breakfast sausage than bacon.
Don't get me wrong, it's all good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with pork chops.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I would rather have a cut of steak.
Yep.
Than a pork chop. I like sausage.
Yep.
But bacon, that's where it's at.
Yep. It's your thing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if I'm gonna have it.
Yep. So similar to your Comic-Con or any of the conventions you go to, so they have the trade show, right? And so to keep it really interesting, because it's good for me and like my sister-in-law and brother, obviously they raise hogs. So they want to look at what's out there that they can maybe incorporate into their barns and things like that. And so to make it interesting for my nieces, because right, they've worked their tails off and they're showing pigs and now it's time to have fun, but mom and the adults want to go to the trade show. My sister-in-law is a genius. So she makes up a scavenger hunt every year, so that when we walk the trade show floor, they can stay engaged and not be like, can we go yet? Right. So, but it is unbelievable, like some of the things that they give away, right? They give away those insulated freezer bags that you want to take to the grocery store and you can put your meat and your milk and all your frozen stuff in. This year, like one of the coolest things they gave away, and by the time we got there, we missed them. And my nieces were like so disappointed. And I was like, oh, darn it. We should have left and went to this particular tent. We're like these foam pig puppets on a wire. So some stuff, it's like pins. It's all it's all the promotional stuff, right? But some of them, they get really creative. And there's like cutting boards and, you know, some pretty cool stuff. But engaging with the people that work at those trade show booths get really, really interesting. And like my brother had to be at his for the company that he works for. But then one of my other buddies from college works for a feed company. And so I got to stop in and see him. And just to see like all the different types of people that are at this trade show and what they talk about, it's just all very intriguing. And I don't think that a large majority of the population even knows that this goes on every year for the past, I don't even know how long year, like how long it's been there, but that this goes on for 4 days in Iowa, America. Now, the one fun fact that I forgot to look up, so we may need to look up, but it is, it will involve your home state. So we got to look it up, is what are the top producing states of pork? Do you think you know the answer to that?
Oh my God. did you, so you're looking it up?
I'm looking it up because I forgot to look it up before. So I apologize.
Can I ask a couple questions on this?
You can.
What is conducive? What kind of climate's conducive to raising hogs?
Really, you can raise pigs anywhere as long as you have resources, like the means to the feed and things like that. But cooler climates are ideal, but they generally
are Alaska.
A temperate, well, no, not always the greatest, but more of a temperate climate, I guess.
So let's say North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia.
Are the states you're thinking about? Okay, so Google is getting me the list now of the top producing pork states. All right, so it's given me one. Okay, it's given me, I think, the top 10 here.
Okay.
All right, so when was this done? I thought that's it. All right, we're just going to go off this list. I'm not sure when it was.
It's probably
written.
Accurate.
It's close enough, but it's 2015. Okay, this was 2015. So I think the list has shuffled a little, but we'll go with it. This is based on.
Is there like hot competition between states on who can produce the most pork?
Well, it's just a revenue generator, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, what do you think the number one pork producing state is?
Texas.
Iowa.
I guess that makes sense.
Number two.
Texas.
No. It's not even in the top 10, so you can let that one go. They're more for cattle.
Maine.
Illinois,
okay. Okay.
Yeah, most of your coastal states are not ideal, but number three.
Florida.
No, you have a buddy who lives in this state that you've talked to me about, you and Shumante's buddy.
Oh, Minnesota.
There you go. Number four, and now I think it is actually three if we looked at 2016 numbers.
North Carolina.
Yes.
Awesome.
Eastern North Carolina has a lot of pork. Number five is Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Number six is Oklahoma. Seven is Missouri, eight is Nebraska, nine is Wisconsin, and 10 is Ohio.
I was gonna say Wisconsin,
yep.
Because for whatever reason, I think Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So my favorite band has a song called Too Much Pork for Just One Fork.
What?
It's an awesome song.
No, how have I not ever heard of this song?
I don't know.
You know what the Pork Checkoff, which is part of the National Pork Producers Council, you know what their theme was this year?
What?
Put some pork on your fork.
Nice.
Yeah. Look at, if I would have known this song, I could have given it to them as the theme song for the event. Dang it.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah.
Oh, maybe, is it not family friendly?
Yeah, it's family friendly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that list, like some of the, the states have shifted and stuff like that. But North Carolina, always in the top five.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, Go North Carolina.
Well, and you know it's a big barbecue state, so
yeah, of course.
You got to have the pigs to make you some good barbecue.
Actually, I should have realized that. I did not put two and two together.
Ding, ding, ding. There you go. So what else? What other interesting facts about the World Pork Expo do you want to know, Brian Kilby?
So how many people in total attend, roughly?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I don't know.
How large a facility or area does this take place in?
Okay, so the North Carolina State Fairgrounds in Raleigh or Cary or whatever that's considered,
Raleigh.
I think. It is that and then some.
Okay.
So it probably, I would say the trade show and the number of hogs that come every year would take, it takes up two massive barns because you're talking about 2,500. Well, actually it's 2,500 exhibitors. They can bring multiple animals. So there could be 5,000 pigs, say, roughly. Taking up two barns and then a huge trade center, so a big trade floor. And then they've got all the vendors who are taking up other barns and other parts, and then they have all the vendor tents. So it probably takes up not quite half of the state fairgrounds while it's there. Okay. When you put it, when you like pull it all together, yeah. right? Because it's kind of spread out. So it takes up probably half of the fairgrounds.
Who was the most famous person there this year?
Oh, the most famous there this year? I have no idea. This is sad. And then from the pork industry, I'm sure somebody could like rattle off. This is the most like maybe the Secretary of Agriculture or something was there. I wouldn't have known. But 2 years ago, the most famous person, and he was a spokesperson for, I think, the pork checkoff was, I don't know the guy's name. I think it's Chris Soule or something. He was on The Bachelor, the show.
I remember you talking about that.
He was there, and a lot of people at the office freaked out that he was there because he's an Iowa pig farmer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was like their probably like most well-known, recognized celebrity that anybody would be like, oh my gosh. But
what are some of the big controversies going on in the pork industry right now?
Oh, goodness. It's like anything else, right? There's always a concern. I don't think it's a controversy, really, because the pork industry takes, and the pork checkoff is part of that, is the concern of the well-being of the animals, right? So that's always a controversy for the agriculture industry or the like livestock industry in general. I don't know that's much of a controversy or just always a point of discussion.
Are there any like big pork scandals?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
No major pork scandals. I think the big thing right now based on the government, right, is NAFTA. So we export a ton to other countries. And so that's not a controversy, but it's a major point, the discussion and concern for the ag industry in total right now is what's going to happen. What are these negotiations going to look like? Because it can have a huge impact on our farmers.
Do we import any pork at all?
I believe that we do, but it's a very small percentage, and it's for some of it might be for consumption, but it's very, very, very small. And okay. I think it's only based on probably like negotiations of because of a negotiation, not because we have to.
Okay.
So, but we do import some meats based on the fact of, you know, especially, right, again, there's so many factors about raising animals and crops that you can't yeah. control droughts, weather, all that. So if we happen to have, we have a backup plan, we can import things in case we can't consume or can't produce enough for our own people.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I have any other questions about the National Pork.
The World Pork Expo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
Get it
the
together. World Kill me if you weren't Expo. Listening to me.
The World Pork Expo. I mean, that's a little different. It's a little more important.
Yes, it's international. No. Okay, cool. Like, well, we talked about good stuff. You asked good questions.
Yeah, I
wasn't prepared for some of those.
I hope I didn't offend with my some of my points or things.
You didn't offend me. I mean, those are good questions that I think a lot of people have. And like anything else, you got to educate yourself. Yeah. And you can, and you form
and
your
Brian,
own.
Brian, you're clearly not educated if you think that eating pigs is in any way inhumane.
No, it's just a way of life for me. I know plenty of people who would agree with you.
I'm just giving you crap. Hey, I love bacon. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to have some sausage probably tomorrow for breakfast. So.
I say to each their own, and I'm not going to judge if you don't want to eat a pig. I'm just going to feel bad for you because they are tasty.
They are tasty.
Well, thanks for listening to me ramble.
Thank you for being here.
About my fun weekend at the Pork Expo.
I think next week everyone will get to hear me ramble about some stuff. So I think it'll be
something
okay.
that I'm going to learn about because I have no clue about it.
I don't honestly don't think I can talk very long about it because I don't know. I have some hot takes
okay.
on some things.
I'm excited to hear about it. So until next time.
We'll see you later.
Have a good week.
Have a good one.
Bye. This was How Was Your Weekend with Wendy and Brian. Please subscribe at our website, howwas.yourweekend. That's howws.yourweekend. Please leave a review and tell a friend.